podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, D Nice. What it do?
Oh, wow. You keep calling out my name.
That's your name, though.
Good thing.
That's your name.
Wow. Wow.
Let's be clear.
I mean, like, I'm having flashbacks. I'm really, you know, I'm having flashbacks to my time in the projects where it was like, it doesn't matter what your name is. We have consensus. We have gotten together and we have picked a name for you.
It's what your name is. I don't really know what the issue is. I have been a substitute teacher in the intercities.
Oh, wow. Oh no.
For a long time.
Okay.
I have come back from the intercities. I know what your name is.
Wow.
I have heard some names walking across these stages. Anyway, we've been off for a while. Some of our fans have personally complained. We're back.
Yeah. We're back. I just want to say that it was not my fault. I stayed put. I was in Vienna. I was here. I was ready.
I don't know, why we need to discuss blame or fault. Some of us were putting down miles and spending hours and hours in vehicles. There was no opportunity. But we're here and we're ready to discuss all the things. Yes, I know we missed some exciting things, but I'm sure you heard loads and loads and loads of opinions on them. So we won't be going back to those. Let's start with what's been happening recently. Me Too continues to put waves into Hollywood's scene. And the next person to have been accused was Morgan Freeman. Now, there was a very cute meme that had Cosby on the phone with Morgan Freeman. And Cosby was like, I told you, if I go down, you going down. I thought that was kind of mean because I actually don't know what to think about the Morgan Freeman revelations, if you will. 8 women have come forward. First of all, the story broke on CNN. Is CNN the place? I don't know. Maybe, did CNN want to get in on the Me Too? Like, did they feel like they were left out? I'm not sure. But 8 women came forward and told semi-similar stories. And Morgan Freeman is upset. He said, I don't want to let these stories undermine the last 80 years of my life, right? You know, he's won Lifetime Achievement Awards. He's got his legacy to think about. He probably doesn't have too much longer to live. And most of the stories revolve around him making comments about women's appearances. There weren't, as far as I could tell, any stories of sexual assault or his getting physical. Most of the stories were about unwanted, unsolicited comments. Morgan Freeman has issued several statements proclaiming his innocence. And in those statements, he also goes on to say that he does have a tendency to want to help women feel more relaxed or comfortable in his presence. He said it's not only women, it's people in general who he recognizes, you know, don't feel confident or whatever. I don't know about that, Morgan. And then on the other hand, we have one of our favorites. I know he's one of your favorites. George Takei was someone made an allegation against him last year already. I don't know if you heard about it. And now the person is kind of sort of retracting their statement. When interviewed again, they had this whole thing last November where they said that George was groping his genitals and so on and so forth and had his hand down his underwear. And then basically, for whatever reason, after telling him to stop after multiple times, George stopped. Now, when asked again, the accuser says he can't actually say if George touched his genitals.
Ooh, somebody got a cease and desist.
It happened in 1981, right?
That's a long time
ago. And the person even says, you know, it didn't come to more than that. There was nothing else involved. But after, you know, basically changing the meat of the story, when he ended that interview by saying, well, you know, he doesn't feel like George is a criminal or an abuser, but he still wants an apology for him taking advantage of their friendship. Now, the thing with that is, isn't that something that you can do privately? What was the point of taking this public?
Not if you want to leverage it, but I mean, I don't, yeah.
if you want to say that someone is not a criminal or an abuser, why would you put their name in the middle of a Me Too movement in November, right, when we're kind of in the thick of it, and then claim that you only want an apology for someone taking advantage of the friendship? And then with the Morgan Freeman, one of Morgan Freeman's accusers also said that CNN was taking her words out of context and that they had misrepresented the story that she told. So, like, what do we do now?
What's the truth?
What do we do?
As people feel more comfortable talking about inappropriate sexual behavior, what's going to happen is that we see a lot of crosstalk that isn't necessarily strategic. I think in the past, because the consequences for revealing that you were a victim of inappropriate sexual behavior was so high, people tended to be a bit more strategic about, okay, do I really want to take this risk? Mm-hmm. And therefore, I need to be very careful about what I say, and I need to... I mean, people, before they came out accusing Bill Cosby, a lot of these women had already spent weeks talking to lawyers before they even said anything publicly, right? So it's, you know, super strategic on their part. But not every a victim of assault is going to be as strategic as they feel more free to just talk about an incident that they didn't feel was right. And then just like what happened with, your boy. Why am I blanking on it? Yeah. That had the babe.net.whatever article about him talking
Aziz,
about the worst
I'm sorry,
side of my,
he's not my Aziz. Boy, but yes.
Just like what happened with Aziz Ansari, I think we're going to see more kinds of things coming out like that, where you're just like, well, that seemed uncomfortable, but was that really? And who mm-hmm. knows? Da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's going to happen more and more
mm-hmm.
As people become more free with talking about this. The way that this whole thing about Freeman started was that a journalist came in to interview him and his co-stars and felt that he was making her uncomfortable, lingering, staring at her body, making sexual innuendo, but nothing that if you write it on paper sounds sexual. It's just like the way it was said. And I think that there's also this racialized aspect to that, of course, for someone like Freeman, where they're like, wait a second. So if I'm being friendly to you and I'm expressing an interest in you beyond this interview, and it could be, let's have a sit down singular interview between you and me, or, you know, I am actually interested in what I say I'm interested in. There is nothing behind that. All of a sudden, you know, my maleness, my blackness makes it a sexualized thing. I'm sure that's what he feels, that it might be something akin to what happened between Lena Dunham and Odom Beckham. Where he actually sat next to her at an event, didn't say anything, and she came up in her head with all these things that he was thinking about her.
Can we not bring her up?
It was bad. So sometimes.
Maybe Matt Damon was ahead of his time. Maybe. Maybe Matt wasn't so far off when he said we need to differentiate
between the different kinds of...
And he got attacked pretty miserably for it. Also for me. But it was because it was coming from Matt Damon, who has also told gay people to stay in the closet and told a black woman that she doesn't understand how diversity works.
Oh, like we often don't. I mean, like, I need white men to explain everything to me. But... Everything. That's bullshit. But at the same time, I think that all of the allegations against Morgan Freeman shine a light on behavior, if it's true, behavior that in my experience is often pervasive with men of his generation, which is, you know, unchecked, essentially personal catcalling. They know you. You're not on the street. You're like sometimes in a professional setting with them, and they will sit up in front of other dudes and just like straight up and down, you know, mumble stuff or jeer at you, essentially catcall, make you uncomfortable in this way, in this environment. And that happens. That happens on a regular basis. And so I think that's what they're trying to call out. And none of the women wanted to be elevated to the extent that the Bill Cosby allegations or the Bill Cosby truth. Sorry, the convictions are. How's that? They do want it to be known that this also makes it a hostile workplace for women.
Yeah, absolutely. In other news, the big beef of this week has been resolved. Did you hear about it?
What?
Gabrielle Union and Jada Pinkett Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith has her own little show called Red Table Talk. It's a lot of fun. And her mommy's on it, too.
It's lovely.
And she realized that there was this Black actress who she never talks to. They see each other. There's always tension. They never really speak. And she couldn't remember, like, why they had ever fallen out. And it's been decades.
I know that neither one of them is A, either a Scorpio, or B, either a Gemini. Because let me tell you something. I remember what you was wearing when there was tension. Like, I know all the details. And so they could not
You have details that are incorrect that you have saved, and then you need a Scorpio to come in and explain to you how it actually was. That's typically how that happens.
I love it. The arrogance. Neither one of them could detail. I would have been like, it was a Tuesday.
And I'd be like, actually, it was a Thursday. And 17 years they hadn't really spoken. Of course, they see each other out because, you know, Black Hollywood is small. They even talk about a moment when Gabrielle was leaving the White House. This is obviously the Obama White House. And Pinkett Smith is arriving and they didn't know how to really greet each other. So they hash it out. And really, there was nothing to hash. You know, they already had a phone conversation when Jada invited Gab to come on the show. And then it was really beautiful. And Gab was really honest about the person that I knew she was, and how she needed some time to heal and so on and so forth. And I just want to applaud the fact that so many people criticize Black women for how they interact with one another and how they beef, right? We always come to hate on my women's, on Real Housewives of Atlanta. But to be honest, when I was in the States, some of my friends were some real reality TV fans. Atlanta has nothing, which in Atlanta does sound quite scripted these days, has nothing on some of those other reality shows. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, Love and Hip Hop and all of these shows surpass Atlanta. But people always say, you know, that's what sells. Black women being sassy and mean and cussing each other out. And Jada Pinkett Smith and Gab Union showed us how it could be done. While some Black men are beefing right now and has the internet up in arms and people are talking about it, I'm absolutely not fazed by this beef happening on the rap scene between Drake and Pusha T.
That's bullshit. Like, but
so what do you think about
And that is super catty, and that is super, let's drag these women in order to make our beef legitimate, right? Like, it's not, they're not even dragging each other. They're dragging the alleged baby mama. They're dragging, you know, I'm like, it's just whack.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they got to put Whitney's photo up there from her hard times. I mean, it's just whack.
What was the point of the Whitney photo? I'm still confused. I didn't understand why.
I think that a lot of the point of why Kanye does anything is because Kanye can. And it's almost like, you know, in an almost Trump-esque way, you know, you give like a kid some, you know, reign over and a lot of power. And instead of ending world hunger, they decide to, like, you know, buy everybody candy on a Tuesday or some shit. Like, it's just nonsense. Right?
Well,
like,
so, you know, like, but Bobby is the wrong person to mess with, and Bobby is already throwing threats. So Bobby is not Kanye. Bobby has been through some real shit. Okay, mm-hmm. So Kanye might want to just step back because
evaluate his whole life.
because Bobby does not play about Whitney. We all know that. So, but anyway.
So, okay. First of all, I saw the episode. I loved it. Hazivas. There was something very Hollywood about we don't remember this beef. I'm sorry.
You don't think they remember it? You think they actually remember the beef?
I had a heart to heart with a good friend of mine last night, and someone came up who I had beef with 15 years ago. And I was like, let me tell you what.
Wait.
Point 1A.
You haven't been in Vienna 15 years. You haven't been in Vienna 15 years.
No, it was with somebody from the States.
Someone
came up and I was like, okay, so let me tell you how this went down.
Oh, I see.
And it's just, you know, especially when someone is, you know, close enough to your heart that you're just not going to talk to them. And then you're going to feel something like a heaviness and some tension. You know what that is about. You know what the breaking point was. Even if you don't know the gritty details, you could say, well, it was something about how you was talking behind my back. Or it was something about how blah, 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 you didn't have my back in this situation. Something, you know, right? You don't, it's not like, oh, you took my parking spot that one time. Like, you know, it's not that. Right? But they didn't want to touch it, and that not touching it felt unauthentic to me.
There were a few things that didn't feel real about it, I have to say. Like, I know everybody was loving it. That's why I brought it up, because I like us to talk about the things people ain't really speaking on. Everybody was loving this episode, and I just felt like it was very polished.
Oh, sure. But, you know, they're both Hollywood, right?
Like, of course. I don't know how not to be polished. It was extremely polished, and it was just... Oh, I'm so happy you're here and let's hold hands. And it just, I didn't feel the warmth. And at the end of the day, at the very beginning of that interview, they started with, oh, I don't remember. And Gab then immediately went into her, I used to be miserable and I used to tear everyone down in the process. And I used to jump on other Black women's failures. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you absolutely know what the beef was about. Because why would you start there?
Right.
That didn't come out of the blue.
Why did when Jada saw that you gave that speech where you said that, why did that resonate with her?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Why did that feel like growth for her?
Right.
Because there was something that didn't go right in Jada's life.
And you was talking about it.
You was talking shit. Right? And so what's up with that? How can you give me sound bites and play a speech I already heard 48 times, but you can't just like be like, okay, I was talking shit about you. You know that, right?
I was happy to see because it came back to you. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You didn't get that part. You didn't get that role. Whatever. And I started talking shit.
Right.
Because we was in competition for XYZ role. And I was talking shit, and you know it.
Right.
And that's all right. Like, can we just be real? Because otherwise, this whole let's talk in hypothetical and platitudes is some bullshit. We can't actually be real.
So even at the part where she said that her relationship with Will really transformed how she wanted to live as a partner, as a woman, and so forth, even there was this moment where she was like, and how was that with you and your situation? She literally said situation. She didn't say your relationship with D-Wade. She said the situation. Because everybody knows that they had a lot of issues. And, you know, Gab goes on to say, you know, we kind of went through our stuff in the dating phase already. That was a very, you know, politically correct way to say it. Even there, I felt like there was something that was probably meatier that they just didn't get to or chose not
to. Well, Gabby don't talk about that. I think she got an NDA in that prenup.
Oh.
Because I read her book.
Yeah.
And she was dishing on a lot of things. But when it came to doing it, it was like, meet cute. Not even a meet cute. Like, just like, he appears from the ether into her life. And is good. And the only thing she bitches about is a prenup. And that's all she bitches about. And then that was it.
Mm.
It was no. And then she talks about being a stepmom and she's doing all the things. And, you know, I could tell that, you know, she's really putting her all into it. But it's just like clear that she is not to be speaking about the ins and outs of what goes on in that.
I understand. Well, okay. In our second segment, it is time to discuss Starbucks. Why do I want to?
Is we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely time to discuss Starbucks. So as we perhaps mentioned, I can't remember, were we recording when it happened? Anyway, two young men, Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson, were simply existing as Black men at a Starbucks in a Philadelphia location last month. And a white woman manager felt uncomfortable with their presence in the store because they had not purchased anything. They were actually waiting to have a meeting there, and they were waiting on a white person to arrive to have that meeting with. And she called the police. They were arrested. It was a big deal. That manager no longer is with the company. There are no details about that exit. The CEO of Starbucks was really big on not making this about one person. The CEO of Starbucks, a lot of people have a lot of issues with Starbucks, but I have to say that CEO does a lot of things right. And one of the things that he did right was he said, I'm going to take responsibility for this. His name is Howard Schultz. So he decided to have an anti-bias training and close over 8,000 retail stores in the U.S. on May 29th. Now, I watched this film that they did in preparation and kind of also, you know, a bit of a trailer marketing for what the process was going to look like. And I saw comment and I was worried.
Ooh!
I was like, why is Common,
good. Don't come by you.
Why is Common in this video? But not only is Common in the video, Sherilyn Ifill, who's the president and director counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, we talk about her often. She is consulting pro bono on this.
Pro bono. They got money. Sherilyn, let them. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I think there's a reason for that. If she is the president and director counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund.
Okay, but can they just make a donation?
Well, they probably making donations, but they're not going to say that is happening in direct correlation to her consulting pro bono. Stay on top of things. And also what gives me confidence is the fact that Melody Hobson, one of my favorite people in the entire world, and if you don't know her, watch her TED Talk. Yes, she's also George Lucas's wife, but she had a career before that. And she has a great TED Talk about how she was treated going into a high level function. Black woman who's in finance, and she's on the board of Starbucks. And they are both greatly influencing how this is all going to happen, right? So short story is, this is the beginning. They did an anti-bias training on May 29th, and they know themselves that it isn't a solution. It's a first step. A lot of people were like, oh, boycott Starbucks. And I forgot about that while I was in the States. I mean,
boycott Waffle House.
I forgot about that too while I was in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Also, though, honestly, like boycott Waffle House, every Waffle House that okay, so I only went once, and I went in the
end. Oh.
I did. Girl. I sure did. Oh. And I own it. I went to Starbucks much more than once. But let me be clear. Every Waffle House that I would be going to is literally filled with Black people. It's all Black people who work there. It's all Black people who eat there. Mm-hmm. How you going to boycott Black folks? They work in there.
Yeah, because, yeah, but... I understand. Clearly, management is on some next stuff, right?
Well, the ones that the ones that I go to, the ones that I've always frequented, management is also Black. I'm sorry. Like, I can't just.
I'm not talking about that management. I'm talking about national management. Like, that is putting out these releases that are talking about appropriate.
When it comes to Waffle House, because it's a franchise. Anyway, so Starbucks, is one of those brands that people love to hate. And they will neglect a lot of things that the CEO has done right. For example, people who work there can go to school for free. For example, a lot of people told him not to, but he made sure that his employees got insurance. No, a lot of people don't do that in the U.S. If you don't understand how insurance works as a U.S. employee, you might want to look it up. So is there anything that they could do right? Because then there was a lot of criticism. I mean, billions of dollars were lost that day, right? Over 8,000 stores were closed for the entire day across the U.S. Billions of dollars in losses in order to have this training as a first step in something that they want to embed in the culture. And there was a lot of criticism, and I'm just like, well, what could they do differently?
Well, I think one thing that would be really nice would be to offer a offer it outside of Starbucks grounds as paid hours, as trainings, that people can, and they have sessions, right? So that work for different people with different schedules, like morning, afternoon, night sessions. And it would be happening for a week. And then you go and you get your extra hours over there.
Well, there, that this was a first step. That's what I'm saying. This was a first step.
Yes, I'm hoping that that happens in the future so that it's extra on top of like, and then it's mandatory. It could still be mandatory, but it's not happening during Starbucks hours because then it will cost them so much. That's one idea that I have. I don't know how Common scores any of his gigs.
Like, I don't know. Explain it to me. How is Common the face on this damn trailer?
Well, you know, he was doing, I mean, like, he had that, like, big video about police brutality, and he was putting a lot about police brutality and about inequality in his recent rap message. And so he's had, like, a lot of highly produced, interesting sort of ideas about that that he's been trying to articulate musically. I'm not a Common fan. I'm a Common hater. I don't
Most
like
people are Common
situation.
Haters ever since he said, "Can we all just get along? I want an Oscar now."
Mm-hmm.
After he won his Oscar for music, no less, on a film that was totally like sidelined by the Oscars. The director didn't get a nom. The film, I mean, it was literally two nominations for Selma, and him and John Legend went for the music, and he's like, "Can we just all get along?" I mean, look at me now. I have won an Oscar. Yes, light-skinned dude, you've won an Oscar for music.
But the thing is that Common is the most light-skinned dude I know. He's more light-skinned than Drake. Like, he is just, he the queen of the light-skinned tribe, right? Like, so he, yeah, I mean, there's something about Common that is just so annoying to me, and I just can't put my finger on it, and so I don't want to be petty and be vague. I mean, but if you must, read his autobiography.
No.
If you ever want a fuckboy study project, like, just, that is horrible.
I mean, such Common, a long list of books. It's not going to be a priority.
Right. I mean, like, but just Google actually said in Common's autobiography. And you could get some of the gems, some of the gems. And so I really just don't know how Common gets these gigs and how he stays employed on the level that he's employed, because to me, he's so mediocre as a rapper, as an actor.
As all of it.
As a person, right? Like, he's just so mediocre.
And trust me, I watched his little show for a long time. And he was so mediocre as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, and in all of his little rom-coms. I mean, I don't know. Okay, sorry. Sidetracked with Common.
But, yeah, like, that's a bad move. But, okay, somebody got to do it.
Somebody got to do it. And he's palatable, right? He's palatable for most white people.
Yeah.
He is.
Is it palatable or is it palatable?
Look, you say...
I'm just saying...
You say neither. You say neither. I say neither. I say comparable, you say comparable. So look, I mean, we can have this conversation right now, or we can stay on topic.
I'm just saying, some people move to London, they switch it up. I'm just saying.
I don't know. No. When I start saying oregano, then you can talk about I moved to London and switched some shit up. As long as I'm saying oregano, okay? Aren't you the person who made fun of me because I said cilantro and not cilantro? Don't come for me, bitch. Don't come for me.
Okay. So they're trying. They're putting some things. I love that they put Eiffel in there. But Common was, I don't know. All right, but that's just a personal beef. He's not horrible. It's not horrible. Like Steve Harvey. Girl. We might have to boycott Starbucks for real. And they could have put Kanye in there. They could have done it. Kim's in the White House now. They could have put Kanye
Not with
in
Melody
there.
Hobson on the board. Come on now. She would have been like, that is a veto.
I hope so.
My thing is, and what I find really important with something like this is, as a community, if you will, which doesn't exist, but when Black Americans specifically get really, really loud about things and, you know, scream boycott and this and that, and a CEO steps up, never releases the name of the manager who acted poorly, never throws that person under the bus, and instead uses the opportunity as, you know, a moment to learn for the company and for themselves personally, and starts and specifically says, this is a first step and we're going to move forward. Can we just have like a little bit of goodwill and say, okay, we're going to give you this. This is a first step. Let's see where you go. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're offering our unconditional support, but we're open to see where you take this. Is it possible to do that in this day and time? Because this could be a real move, right? Starbucks has a lot of clout.
But I think that when corporations are involved, there's a level of healthy skepticism, because what we've understood from corporations, I think that the trust between Americans and their corporations has been so eroded, not just from the actions of corporations, but from the law sort of giving corporations unfettered ability to abuse power in such egregious ways. Anything from like Citizens United to right to work laws that dissuade employees, including employees at Starbucks.
But there's a difference between healthy skepticism and cynicism.
For sure. I see that. I mean, and I don't really think that any massive corporation can do anti-racism training in a way that feels good for everyone. Right. Like, I don't think that's a possibility. No. Because there's always going to be someone that's like, and then you got your right wing haters, you got I'm way too woke haters, you know, like you got that. You're going to have it. Sure. You know, even with the training came down the line, there were people saying that it was essentially being done by a corporate, by an organization that was shilling for Israel in ways and covering for Israel in ways and blah, 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 blah. So it was a lot. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that support Palestine did not feel good about the organization that was chosen to do the training.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But good luck finding one today that doesn't have some ties somewhere. Well, actually, I mean, I have an organization.
Hey, what is it?
I have organizations and I do this work. But, you know, I'm a little too small to cover 175,000 employees in one day. That's a lot.
Like to find someone who's doing anti-racism
months.
Training on that level, and the anti-racism training isn't trash. It's a hard thing. I remember when I was at Microsoft, I had anti-racism training that was trash, and it was, and I felt really like it was a missed opportunity, and I felt insulted because I, as the one Black woman in a team of 200. It almost was like you're reducing the micro and macro aggressions that I have to deal with on a daily basis to a soundbite, to a platitude, to a game, to a check, you know, so you can waste these people's times and then have them like look at me or look at diversity as just something else to waste their time.
Well, the research that has emerged over the last 5 years and continues to emerge has become really specific about what works in unconscious bias and anti-bias training and what doesn't work. And the things that work, what makes those things sustainable. So there has been a lot of progress from a research standpoint that informs these trainings since your time at Microsoft. And at the same time, there are companies like Google that have this in place, right? Google has a very clear process around unconscious bias training, and all of their employees have to go through it, and all of their employees have to go through it regularly. So it's not like you do it one time and then it's done. Another 2 years later, you have to do it again. And we still get, you know, manifestos coming out of that place that show how a lot of people there think. And we look at the numbers and see that Google doesn't really have a great diversity track record, right? So I'm not saying that, like I said, I'm not saying that this is unconditional, but I do feel like in today's world, there's very little that you can get right from like a public opinion standpoint.
From a public opinion standpoint, I think that they did as best as they could to avoid a lawsuit from this, you know, white woman terrorist person manager as well as to, I mean, like, I don't I don't love the way that the black dudes that were affected handled it. I don't love that either.
We don't know how they handled it. All we know is that they received an undisclosed amount of money from Starbucks.
Oh, no, it's disclosed. No. It's like $1.
No, that's from the city. We don't know what they received from Starbucks. That's undisclosed.
Mm.
They received They received an undisclosed amount of money from Starbucks. They received $1 from the city.
$1.
And then the rest was put forward to support
the program.
Right.
Okay, thanks for getting facts on that, because I thought that the $1 settlement was from Starbucks the program was from Starbucks. No. So the program's from the city.
The
city to affect something institutionally, and that makes sense. I hope that they bought whatever real estate deal that they was trying to sit down at Starbucks to talk about. I hope Starbucks then funded that and the rest of their career. I hope so, because that piece of it was like, okay, wait a second, $1 from Starbucks? Because they can, okay. Yeah, that was a bit much. But so I'm glad I got facts on that. But yeah, I mean, like, Starbucks, I think they're doing the best that they can do. I just think that a lot of people that are critiquing the move, especially people of color, we know that it's so much work to combat to do the hearts and minds thing. Like you talked about these manifestos coming out of Google that has this constant training. You're not going to do that in an afternoon. And you're not even going to do that if you have a once per quarter or once per year type training, right? Because white supremacy is in the air we breathe, it's in the water that we're drinking. We're getting in it every media that we consume. We're getting it unconsciously from the time we're born and until the time we die. Like that is a hard thing to combat. That is not like just like me understanding that it exists. It requires an entire paradigm shift that people that are privileged from it tend not to want to make. They don't want to have something that now puts them in a place where they have to critique things that benefit them. That's a hard sell.
And in our final segment, what are we looking forward to? What are we excited about? Let's hit it.
Yo. So Queer Vienna is like, I feel like it's just hibernated. It's like a bear. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it hibernates in the winter,
mm-hmm.
and then spring comes and you see some rumblings, and then, you know, summer's here and the bear's like climbing a tree, swatting at bees. I mean, like, it's just, it's in your face, you know, it's like attacking campgrounds, okay. You know, you're like, what is this bear doing? So that's Queer Vienna. So uh-huh. It's out here,
mm-hmm.
and it's doing its thing. So tonight, in Vienna, there is the Queer Women's Party Pink that I talked to you about being profiled at before because I was too femme. So they didn't think I belong there.
Right.
And
you are. No, just playing.
Way too femme to be queer. But we talked and it was good. And so hopefully I'll have an interview talking about that soon. So that's going to be great. Yes. Because, you know, I'm like Jada Pinkett and Gabby, you know, and I get together with my peoples. And I'm like, hey, so I'm a call-in type person. Mm-hmm. Everyone says to me, you're like the great resolver. Okay. So then, maybe not.
That has maybe not experience, but okay.
Petty McPets.
We all know who I am. I am a Scorpio. There is no doubt.
Patti LaBelle. And so, another thing that's happening tonight, speaking of Patti LaBelle, is we're going to have some drag queens up in chill. I will be wearing sequins and a little mini skirt.
Oh.
We are having the release of the Homo Party, which is the
Homo debut. Party? That sounds sinful.
You don't like it? You don't like the name?
That sounds sinful. I don't know.
It sounds sinful? Mm-hmm. What you mean sinful? Sinful bad or sinful good? Like, what kind of sinful?
Oh, there's only one sinful. Good. Let's go now.
I'm telling your pastor. So the Homo Party debuts tonight. This is a pet project of another transplant into Vienna. So he's bringing some of this energy. So it's going to be like a lot of drag queens. One of the things that he wanted to implement was that, you know, we over here with the Euros, they don't know about that stuff in dollar bills because we got dollar coins. You can't be throwing coins at strippers. You can't be
throwing coins at drag queens or strippers or anything, rather. You got to. So what they have implemented is this idea of the homo dollar. So you pay, like, I think, like, €5, and then you get 20 homo dollars, and the idea is to go ahead and be liberal with that.
That's a lot.
And share it, and mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever. That's what I was saying. He was like, yes, but if it's too one-to-one, people start getting stingy. And so he wants everybody to, he wants everyone to make it rain. He wants you to come in there with your $5 and make it rain. So it's going to be cute. I'll be reporting back on what it was. I want to see these drag queens that actually, because I have not really gotten into the drag culture here in Vienna yet, mm-hmm. y'all. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be me, you know, coming in there and being like, what it do, drag Vienna? What does it do? Mm-hmm. So that's great. And then the piece there is the song is that, because you see my French is on point, mm-hmm. is that this whole weekend on Friday and Saturday, we got the queer festival.
So,
Sister Spit Queer Festival. And that's at Tanzquartier and Museums Quartier. And that's going to be tonight and tomorrow night. And tomorrow night includes also an after party. So they brought in amazing queer artists from all over Europe.
Nice.
That to put on a variety show, not just Europe. I'm sorry. The ones that I spoke to are from Brazil.
Mm.
And we're talking like just brilliant people in my experience, talking to them. We're going to have some interviews from them next week. So I'm really excited about that.
Amazing. So what I'm excited about, even though you haven't asked, is past events. One of our biggest fans. No, I'm talking. One of our biggest fans and one of my closest friends. His name is Tarek, and he's in Brighton, and he had this big vision, and he realized that vision, brought Big Frida over for an event called Brownton Abbey. It was dope. Loads of black and brown, beautiful, queer people performing on stage. And of course, in the culmination, that is Big Frida. And unfortunately, I missed it because I wasn't here.
Wow.
But the pictures, I lived vicariously through the live feed. I'm also excited about the fact that someone who shares your age just celebrated their birthday. And I'm hoping that you celebrate similarly. Have you heard about how Andre Three Stacks celebrated his birthday?
No, what you do?
He cooked out in an Oakland park. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. You just need to fly on over to Oakland and be like, hey, what's good, y'all? You know, it's my birthday. I'm just cooking out here, chilling.
Oh, Oakland has had probably one of the most inspiring responses to casual racism. It really has. I love me some Oakland.
And I'm also excited about the fact that I finally got to see Sampha live. Last weekend was a 3-day festival right around the corner from where I live. And I got to see Sampha live. If you don't know Sampha, you need to check him out. Sampha. Tracy Ellis Ross even loves him. I assume that he was big, but apparently he's not. But he's from South London. He's Sierra Leonean. He's dope. Excuse me?
He was on Solange's album, too.
Indeed he was. Sampha. Yes. I got to see some other great people as well. I got to see Bjork, who... I could watch Bjork perform live every weekend. Like, she was amazing. Feminist dream, really. I like her. I love her. It was dope. But Sampha was a lot of fun to watch because, not because of him, he was great, but his drummer, who kind of wears the Pusha T braids, okay. He just gets into it. And he's just like, you know, he's kind of like Animal from The Muppets. He's just like, okay. I loved him. I love it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm still like kind of reminiscing, even though I know it's already a new weekend, but such is life. Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today, so feel free to get at us. And if you can spare a dime or two, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/thequeertruth. Until next time, peace out.